It is Thursday, April 10th. We had 16 games yesterday, so we have 60,000 things to talk about. Welcome to the show, and watch our video show live noon Eastern time, and call our video show and participate. But also do that on the podcast with your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I'm Adam Mazur with Al Melchior and Scott White, and this is Fantasy Baseball Today. Bullpens going crazy. Jim Johnson stinks. Joe Nathan can't throw hard. A bunch of pitchers that I didn't expect to be good have been good. Paul Goldschmidt owns Tim Lincecum. Okay, I'm just going to stop. I'm giving away the whole show.
Well, Paul Goldschmidt, he plays fantasy baseball?
If he did, he would drop Tim Lincecum because everybody should drop Tim Lincecum. Come on. Well, how long is the love affair going to go on?
It's not a love affair.
Yeah, hardly.
He's 90% owned. He's the most overowned player in fantasy, and it's not even close.
Okay. I could see how maybe that's too much, but I'm not just flatly dropping him because you tell me to, Adam.
But who else needs to tell you?
Now, if you didn't tell him or me, we would probably drop him, but to defy you, we're going to hang on to him.
Why? Like, give me one reason why.
Well, 12 strikeouts.
Who cares?
One walk.
The
in 10
same
innings.
Thing last year.
No, you let him finish.
Who cares about the walks? The walks are down.
Those are the two stats I care about most with a pitcher. How many strikeouts?
With most pitchers, fine. But then make a case. Then tell me why CeCe Sabathia is good. You're not going to do that.
Okay.
Double standard.
But I'm not just dropping CeCe Sabathia either.
Where's the strikeouts? Where's the low walks?
Sabathia's got over strikeout per inning.
He does.
The same exact as Lincecum.
And both
over
of their issues.
Over two starts?
Yeah, Lincecum also.
All right, let's go back maybe another 30 starts.
Well, whatever. Look at the ERA
and
the home runs and the stuff.
I'm not even trying to distinguish between the two. I'm not high on Lincecum. I'm not high on Sabathia, but I'm not so down on them that I'm dropping them.
No, okay, fine. But 90% just seems high.
What is Sabathia?
Probably over 90%, but that doesn't seem high.
What's the difference for you?
Another 3 months. Let's say the All-Star break.
Okay.
If he keeps pitching this poorly, because Sabathia was bad, but not Lincecum bad.
I guess that is the first thing you said I can agree with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get to it here. I was going to do buy or sell today, but there's so much to talk about that we're going to save it for tomorrow. Only 9 games tonight, so more time, I think, to freelance tomorrow. Let's start with the bullpen, guys. Jim Johnson.
Oh, don't just fly over your great segment.
Oh, that's right. I want to try to do a daily Twitter poll for a little fun. So today's Twitter poll, since the Yankees and Red Sox are playing a 4-game series. What?
You're going to go there?
I'm going to change the wording.
Okay.
Better accent, Boston or New York? Boston or New York? I'm going to tweet it now and let the questions filter in. And if you want to do some poll questions, you know, you can tweet them to me and maybe they'll make the show. Better accent, Boston or New York?
We can have a meta poll. Which poll would you like to answer?
What's your favorite accent, Adam? Not even these two. Just any accent in the whole wide world.
Probably like a Midwestern.
Scottish. Well, between Scottish
right.
and Canadian.
Scottish.
That's a good call. Who doesn't right. like a Scottish accent?
All right, let's get to it here. Raging Bullpen with Jim Johnson and Joe Nathan. Let's start with them. Who should we be more worried about? Both have been bad.
Yeah, they both have been bad. I'm actually a little more worried about Nathan because his velocity's down 2 miles per hour from last year. He says he's going through dead arm, which I've never really known what exactly that means, as never being a pitcher myself. But
can't help you out there. But we've
sometimes they overcome it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just an excuse. He's 39 years old. And Al pointed out in the preseason he wasn't getting, he wasn't.
The velocity had been down a little bit last year.
Oh, it was just the velocity?
Yeah, and a slight dip in the whiff rate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was more just worried about it going more in that direction.
Yeah, so I'm a little worried. Like, I'd still own Nathan over Jim Johnson, but just relative to what he should be, I'm more worried about him.
But it looks like Jim Johnson doesn't even have a firm grip on the job, right? Well, his manager was not so committed to him. Like, he kind of gave a brushed off the answer, but did not give him a vote of confidence yesterday.
Yeah.
Johnson blew another. I don't know if he officially blew a save, but he struggled. He got the win, Johnson.
Or maybe it was Nathan. Okay, sorry, I got confused. Nathan might have gotten the win. It doesn't matter. They both were bad. So who should we pick up to speculate? First in Oakland, first in, and then in Detroit.
In Oakland, I still think it's Luke Gregerson. But I kind of had a second thought about it because I got a tweet last night where somebody was saying, who do I pick up, Doolittle or Cook? And, you know, the A's do have such a deep bullpen. If it's one of those situations where the manager prefers to keep the setup guy as the setup guy, they do have other closer-worthy options.
They
so,
do, yeah.
So I'm going to say Gregerson, like, with an asterisk.
Okay. Yeah. And how about in Detroit?
Well, Detroit I don't think is a really quite to that point yet. And honestly, I don't know. Like, would Al Albuquerque got a save yesterday, but who's their eighth inning guy? Because it was going to be
Rondon.
Yeah, it was going to be Bruce Rondon, but now Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, that's a
Jabba.
Yeah, actually, I think it is.
I don't know that they'd try him as a closer, but I don't think they're close to that point yet. So unless it's an AL-only league where you own Nathan, I probably wouldn't be going to that extreme.
Are you worried about any other closers? Kenley Jansen struggled in a non-save situation as a 4.76 ERA. Rafael Soriano has given up 5 hits in 3 innings. No walks, 6 strikeouts. He's been fine so far, but a lot of hits.
It was kind of funny, actually, in that game, Nationals-Marlins, that of the 3 end-of-the-bullpen guys, Soriano actually did the best.
Oh, of the Storin-Clipperd.
Yep.
Yeah. Tommy Hunter gave up 2 hits in a run, but got the save. Sean Kelly was brutal. Obviously, he's a short-term option anyway, and it was a non-save situation. John Axford has 4 saves, but he's walked 5 guys with 6 strikeouts. And Pedro Strop, we'll talk about him afterwards. But are you worried about Kenley Jansen, Soriano, Tommy Hunter, or John Axford? Or at least like any more than you might have been going into the season.
Yeah, actually, no on all of the above.
All right, then. Pedro Strop, as much as I want him to take over that job from Jose Varas, he's been bad, and he gave up 2 home runs in the 9th inning yesterday and has a 5.79 ERA. Does this matter?
Doesn't help. Yeah. I'm not as down on Varas as I feel like the world at large is. Obviously, it wasn't looking good his first 2 or 3 appearances, but we haven't really gotten going yet, and there's nobody else in the bullpen who's standing out, clearly. And his ratios were great last year. Kind of out of character, but they were.
I'm not getting the right response to this poll question here. Better accent, New York or Boston? I've got 1 vote for New York, 2 votes for Philadelphia, and 1 vote for New Orleans.
All right. Making up their own choices.
And just a no vote. I guess this guy doesn't like either. All right, here's a new category called, are these guys good? Because here's what happened yesterday. I see these good starts from these starting pitchers. Look them up. I mean, knowing a little bit, but these guys either don't have much of a track record as a starter or don't have a good track record necessarily. Robbie Erlin, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts at Cleveland for San Diego. Garrett Richards, 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 3 walks, 6 Ks, and he's got a 7.75 ERA in 2 starts for the Angels. Robbie Ross for Texas walked 6 guys but allowed only 1 unearned run and was pretty good in his last start at Tampa Bay. And Jesse Chavez, I mean, if you look at his stats as a reliever, just hasn't been a very good pitcher. He only made 2 starts in his career before this season, but he's off to a good start for the A's.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
What do these 4 have in common?
Relief pitcher eligibility.
Yeah.
So let's rank them in a roto league where that doesn't matter. Robbie Erlin, Garrett Richards, Robbie Ross, and Jesse Chavez, all available in at least 65% of leagues.
I'm actually going to start with Erlin. I think it's pretty close. I'll go Erlin, Richards, Ross, Chavez.
I'll go Richards, Erlin, Chavez, and then Ross. Ross looks like he's going to be a whip liability. Richards, I took a closer look at him after this dominant start, 1-hit Seattle over 7 innings. Guy throws really hard, and he's throwing harder this year than even previous years when he spent part of his time in the bullpen.
And he had a pretty strong finish last year, but the whip was kind of high, so I didn't really see him as a mixed league type. But I think the way he's – the kind of start he's off to, and just because I feel like he has the best stuff of this bunch, I think it's time for him to leapfrog Scheppers and Santiago as far as Sparps go. Not saying he's a must-add, but – Better on second look than I thought he was.
And I think we're kind of going opposite ways here because I like Richards. I think, among us, I rated him highest in the SPARP list. And I don't think that the one start really, means that much. And the end result was certainly very good. But the peripherals really didn't look very good for this game at all. And I didn't watch it. I don't know if either of you did. But it seemed, just from looking at the numbers, like the sort of game where he might have gotten away with some things. Because he didn't.
I did not watch it.
Okay.
I watched very, very little of it, and I don't think I saw him.
Yeah, because he just didn't throw strikes here. He, 58 strikes out of 104 pitches. That's an awful ratio.
Well, there was an interesting quote from Lloyd McClendon in the recap that I'll try to read. McClendon.
Yeah,
when you run into a buzzsaw like that where a guy is throwing 96-97, getting an 86 to 89 mile per hour slider over for strikes, it's going to be a tough night. He just outdueled our guy.
Yeah, that's actually the quote that caused me to go look up the pitch effects data, because I was like, 96-97, that's Richards?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so, all right. Sorry, so who is your number one out, Erlen?
So, Erlen, yeah, and for me, that's actually a leapfrog. Because I feel like Richards is now pretty much who we've seen him to be the last year plus or so, is a guy who normally does have pretty good control, ground ball outs, although not so much so far this season. But Erlen, I mean, I think there's upside to be fulfilled there, even though he's not, doesn't throw nearly as hard as Richards does.
Scott, who's your number one?
Richards. Yeah.
Did you rank all of them, or did you just say Richards? Sorry.
No, I ranked them. Richards, right. Erlen, Chavez, Roth.
So would you drop your favorite on this list? Would you drop Tanner Scheppers for him? I know Scott said yes. So would you, Al?
I would. Erlen being at the top of my list because I think Erlen's in that rotation probably for good, and Scheppers may not be.
Would you drop Eric Johnson for Erlen or Richards?
No, because I'm not at all convinced about Johnson's job security at this point. He has not been.
So, you would drop Eric Johnson.
So, yes, I would.
Yeah, you pulled the Scott.
Yep, yes, you did.
Hearing the question backwards.
Would you do it, Scott?
Drop
Eric Johnson.
Yes, I would.
Would you drop Ricky Nolasco for them?
I would.
Would you drop Phil Hughes?
Yeah.
Would you drop Jake Odorizzi?
Oh, we're going so fast. Just blowing by Phil Hughes.
You wouldn't drop Phil Hughes?
I would not. No, I was encouraged by that start. That has a crummy-looking line.
Four runs in the first inning, and then he settled down.
Settled down and was the Phil Hughes I thought he could be this year in Target Field.
Okay. What's that?
That means a good Jason Vargas pitcher that you're going to be able to stream, maybe 50% of the weeks and have a guy who's really good in those weeks. But you just got to be careful.
Al, I hope I play you on a week where you start Phil Hughes for two starts, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Tim Lincecum. That's my goal in fantasy baseball.
That's a lot of risk on one team. I don't think I took that many chances with any one team.
Would you drop Jake Odorizzi for Robbie Erlen or Gary Richards?
No, and that's actually the one kind of the opposite take Al had on Richards, Odorizzi. Again, I was kind of led this route by what they were saying after the game.
Oh,
Joe Madden,
you didn't read
Odorizzi
the quote
himself.
Of the day, did you, in the notes?
I didn't.
Do you want to read the quote of the day?
People who look at that line are going to misinterpret that outing because he threw the ball extremely well. It was just an unfortunate game for him. That was Joe Madden on Jake Odorizzi.
Actually, I forgot the N in Madden, so it was Joe Maddie on Jake Odorizzi.
I bailed you out there.
It was just some guy who was in the stands.
Yeah. Joe Maddie was very impressed with Jake Odorizzi.
Look, people are going to misinterpret it.
Who gave up 10 hits, 10 hits and 7 runs at Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, and I looked at that, and Odorizzi himself was saying he was getting a lot of ground balls.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. It was an extremely high rate. Actually, that good start against the Rangers the first time out that we were all in love with him over, his line drive rate was 3 times higher in that game than this game. So it seems like, yeah, it really was a lot of bad luck. And I'm not down on him because of this.
In a related development, not related at all, looks like Boston is winning the accent war right now on Twitter, which I'd have to agree with.
Can you give me a sample of both? Because
Boston
I'm
is Pak the Ka and Havid Yad.
Okay.
And New York is like, coffee talk.
Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom. I'm not a big fan of New York accents. She's got a pretty substantial one. They also say, my mom says idea instead of idea. And pizza, I think.
Washington?
I love Washington.
I don't know why she says that, but she does.
Yeah.
Stat of the day, Paul Goldschmidt, 13 for 24 with 7 home runs and 17 RBI against Tim Lincecum in his career, and he did homer off Lincecum last night. We talked about Lincecum. We screamed about Lincecum. So let's go to the email of the day, number one. Oh, wait. Let's pause. What do you guys want to talk about? What stood out to you? Because I thought it was a very, very impactful fantasy day. I was making a lot of ad drops yesterday. Al scooped Melky Cabrera up before I could. Well, he had waiver priority.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you'd already made a bunch of moves before. That's not how much scooping
I did. That was a waiver claim. So I tried to pick
him
up.
Oh, you tried.
But you got Cabrera instead of me. So I got Robbie Ross in that league instead. But.
Yeah, you got Erlen in a bunch, right?
I picked up Chavez in one, I think Erlen in one, and Ross in one. The problem is Nando owned Erlen in every league, basically, so
let's
give him credit for that.
I wasn't sad that you got them before I could. If that says anything about those three, I was like, all right.
Well, I dropped Sheppers. My pitching's a mess in one league, so I'm just taking a shot. But go ahead, Al. What do you got?
How about Trevor Bauer?
How about him?
Oh.
Good start for Trevor Bauer.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And he had a good first start at AAA, too. Two walks in that one. Two walks yesterday, right? And 8 strikeouts in 6 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, we all know he has the stuff to dominate. That's never been in question. Just he tinkers so much that, his delivery's always messed up. And they worked so hard with him in the offseason. It didn't seem to get results in spring training. But then he comes up and has a start like this. And you just have to wonder, is this finally the time he's going to stop messing, getting in his own way, and just let the stuff do what it can do? He was called up as the 26th man for a doubleheader. I don't know if they sent him down yet. But there's room there for him. Carlos Carrasco is nothing special.
Okay, would you rather have him or Brandon Workman? Speculation.
Bauer?
Yeah.
Bauer.
I think as of right now, I would rather have Brandon Workman. In fact, I thought about picking him up last night. I already have him in one league, and I just thought better of it in the others and took kind of a wait-and-see approach, and I'm waiting and seeing even more on Bauer. And what I'm doing right now while I'm kind of stalling for time is pulling up Bauer's game logs, because I made a note to myself, when's the last time Trevor Bauer had a good start
in the big leagues.
In the big leagues.
I actually looked at this yesterday.
Okay. And actually,
he was
more
decent against the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually a rain delay doubleheader situation.
Yeah. Actually,
rain out.
He had 4 starts. I guess that was really the only good one.
Yeah, the first one before that wasn't bad, right? His first start last year?
Well, effectively wild one. So I guess we could count that one. So he had 4 starts last year.
I don't count a walk where you're talking about the 6 walk game?
The 6 walk game.
Yeah, that's not a good start.
Yeah, I guess not. So, good result, but really what you call a good start. So, one really pretty solid start out of 4 last year. I thought it was worse than that, to be honest. So, the point in all that is just that start that Bauer made yesterday made such an impact on me, because it seemed like it had been like 2 years since we had seen him be effective at the major league level. So, that's not really that far from the truth. So I think I want to see a little bit more.
Anything else, guys? Big stuff?
There's a lot else.
Okay.
One that you may not have in the notes is Derek Norris, homered again off a right-handed pitcher.
Dude, I'm all over it.
He's all over the righties.
Let's go to this segment.
Meanwhile, John Jaso is batting 176.
Let's go to this segment I have called Going Streaking Through the Quad. Guys that are streaking. Kelly Johnson's homered in 2 straight games. Albert Pujols is homered in 2 straight games. Derek Norris has homered in 2 straight games.
He both didn't start. Righties.
He didn't start yesterday.
No, though. He didn't.
Anthony Rizzo has 10 hits in his last 4 games, 4 straight multi-hit games, which is a career high, and Pedro Alvarez and Russell Martin homered twice. So you can start with Derek Norris. You think you can get more playing
time? I think I just
time?
Did. John Jaso, he can be a great on-base guy, but he can also be a liability. He's been up and down in his career, and like I said, he's off to a terrible start. He's not great defensively. So there's you could make a pretty strong case for them to take him out if they continue to go this way throughout the rest of the April. And that would probably make Norris a sleeper on the level of a Devin Mesoraco. So we're not talking about at in all leagues, but certainly those two catcher leagues need to be keeping an eye on this situation.
Okay. How about the other guys who were streaking? Kelly Johnson's homered in two straight, like I said. Same with Pujols.
Yep.
Alvarez and Martin had two homers last night. And Rizzo, you'd like to see the batting average there, which is good, you know.
Yeah.
Ten hits in four games.
Very encouraging. Four straight multi-hit games. He struck out three times on opening day, only twice since.
And I think Johnson's – I was a little worried about Johnson before, particularly with the emergence of Solarte, but that was before Teixeira went on the DL. Now his playing time is safe. I do like him in Yankee Stadium and in the AL East. So as long as Tex is out of the lineup, I think Johnson's a nice pickup.
Would you rather have Kelly Johnson or Mike Moustakas?
Right now I'd rather have Kelly Johnson.
I'm still taking Moose. We've seen good stretches from Kelly before, and then everybody ends up dropping him, and I don't need to mess with him.
Kelly Johnson, Casey McGee.
Kelly Johnson.
Yep.
All right. Johnson does have a lot of position eligibility, and he'll be first base eligible soon if he's not already, right? So.
Yeah. Do you have Mark Reynolds in the notes?
No, I don't. Go for
four
it.
Straight starts, even though only one of those games was against a left-handed pitcher.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It seems like that platoon with Lyle Overbay is over, and he hit his second home run last night. He had a second stolen base last night.
Yeah, kind of forgot about him being a stolen base threat.
Yeah, it's been a while, but he has had a 20-steal season before.
But we should have done an over-under on when that platoon was going to end. Because it seemed like a matter of time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have picked this early, though.
Well, Overbay's a better defender, so he could still factor in. But Reynolds is the kind of guy that when he gets hot, he's like the hottest hitter in baseball.
Yeah, and when he's not.
So is Kelly Johnson. They're similar like that. But Reynolds is interesting just from the roto perspective because he can hit 30 home runs. He pretty much always does when he's a regular player, and those guys are scarce.
Do you have a segment in here called Passed Out in the Quad?
No.
No? Because I want to talk about somebody who just stinks right now.
Ew.
Josh Reddick.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just striking out, zero power, not hitting any fly balls, which is usually he's kind of extreme in that regard. Just looks like he's a mess. And there was an update a couple days ago on our site from Chris Swick saying there's a chance he could get optioned.
Wow. He's owned in 58% of leagues. That's a lot of leagues.
Yeah, but I think he's one of the most dropped, if not the most dropped player other than somebody who's on the DL.
So if you drafted him as a power specialist, trade him out for Reynolds.
Okay.
Or somebody else.
You could
Lucas
do that.
Lucas Duda.
All right.
Somebody like that.
Let me ask you this. Let's say some fantasy baseball player owner tweets you and says, I need some help. Give me a guy who is less than 50% owned that I need to pick up. What would you tell him? Pretty open-ended question, but who's the guy that like needs to be owned?
You know, I think you asked a similar question on our show yesterday, and Scott took the guy who always comes top of mind for me, Duda.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be probably my first go-to guy.
It probably would be mine too, but it's kind of speculative because I don't really trust what he's doing or not doing now. Eric Young is another guy who'd be up there for me because I know down the stretch when he was playing every day for the Mets, you know, not a great batting average guy, but he was stealing at such a rate that he was even an advisable start in the points leagues. And he's owned it less than Rajay Davis, who's not even an everyday player, so I don't understand how that works.
Rajay Davis, do you think will be an everyday player? Right. Oh, no, because Hunter's fine. It was just a cut on his knee.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tyler Collins played yesterday. All right, we do have injuries to get to. Here's the email of the day from Alex. He says, dudes, and by the way, Alex says he listens to every show. So when you listen to every show, you get to call us out. And he says, you got to stop prognosticating about Braun. You keep getting him wrong. You keep talking about trading him. His value's dropping because of injury or the like. Then the past 2 days, he just had a three-homer game and a two-run triple. Last year, you were certain that he should be able to play out the year, even if busted for PEDs. I don't think he even played out the first half, or he barely did. Meanwhile, you're never talking about the slow starts of Pujols plus Miguel Cabrera. I guess there should be nothing to worry about then. Well, Pujols is homered twice.
He's heating up. So
there is nothing to worry about with Miguel
Cabrera. Yeah, Braun's injured. That's really the whole incentive. And look, I wasn't really telling anyone to trade him until the three-home-run game. Because
I thought you would
undersell him before the three-home-run game.
Right. Yes, you were right. And after the three-home-run game, I put out more trade offers for him. So I think that's where we're at right now. Like, if you can sell high, you could do it right now.
But it's not, like, I don't know. Just based on the questions I get in chats and on Twitter, like, anytime we talk about trading somebody, people are like, should I trade him for this really stupid offer?
Yeah.
And it's like, no. You trade him because you think his value is high right now, higher than it's going to be ultimately. That's why we're timing the trade at this like we are. That doesn't mean you undersell him because you're panicked and like you just need to get him off your roster by any means possible.
Here's our tweet of the day. It's from Garrett Hall. Taiwan Walker pitched 5 scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts in his second rehab start. Where do you rank a healthy Walker?
I think I have him around 60th, and I'm checking it right now. And we're going to have a healthy Walker very soon. He could start on Monday.
Nice. He'd be up there with Yordano. Once I know I have him below Yordano now, but if he's really on the verge of returning, I'll move him up because where he is now is anticipating a layoff that we're almost past now.
Yeah, I've got him 86, but again, that's not, you know, I need to bump him up net with his return looking imminent. But looking at where I do have pitchers ranked, yeah, I'd have him in the 60s.
We haven't talked about Tanaka. 10 strikeouts yesterday. Mm-hmm. 7 innings, 3 runs. 1 walk, 10 strikeouts.
We also haven't talked about the best pitching performance of yesterday.
Irvin Santana.
Yes. Who probably more available than Tanaka. But now, we can talk about Tanaka first.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he is, but he's 92% owned.
We also haven't talked about Jeremy Guthrie.
We'll get to all those guys. Injuries, news, and notes, part 1. Josh Hamilton's out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn UCL in his thumb. J.B. Shook was called up. Cole Calhoun batted 6th with Colin Cowgill leading off. That was kind of weird. Calhoun did steal a base. I don't know if Calhoun's not going to lead off against
lefties. What's the weird part about that?
Because Calhoun's been leading off.
Yeah, but Cowgill is, I think, more of a prototypical leadoff type.
All right, well, that was noteworthy then. Maybe I shouldn't say weird.
Yes, it is noteworthy.
Cowgill's not a good hitter. He hasn't been in his career, so they just throw him in the leadoff spot?
I mean, look, that's fair, but but he could be a good leadoff guy because he's got speed and on-base potential.
Do you think it's feasible that Calhoun will lead off against righties and maybe Cowgill against lefties?
Could be.
I'm not sweating it either way, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons why you liked Calhoun was because he was hitting in front of Trout and Pujols.
Yeah, I mean, but he got off to a slow start, and then so now my expectations are kind of I wouldn't say they're down because, yeah, I was intrigued by how that would go, but now I think he's still a question mark whether he's batting first or sixth.
All right, how about these outfielders? I'm going to look at the roster trends real quick. The most added and dropped outfielders. So if you want to replace Josh Hamilton, you could look at these guys. Charlie Blackmon, Solarte. Well, Melky and Bonifacio seem like good choices, but they're owned in over 80% of leagues. Michael Morse homered again last night. Abraham Almonte.
Now, how available is Morse? Because I'm liking him.
He's 54% owned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Marcelo Zuna. Ben Revere. More of a steals guy. Dexter Fowler, 60% owned.
That's it.
And Alejandro Diaz is 60% owned. And the injury yesterday, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, to Abasil Garcia.
I did see that.
I can't believe he's not already on the DL. Hopefully he dodged a bullet, but it looked bad.
Yeah, and that would, you know, you're talking about Diaz. I think his playing time was going to be okay anyway, but now you get Vizieto back in the picture.
He happened to be sitting yesterday, Diaz. But yeah, Vizieto got picked up in our 14-team categories, Roto League, which was a pretty good pickup. In that league. Anyway, again, we got Blackmon, we got Solarte, we got Morse, we got Almonte, Ozuna, Duda, and Fowler. Give me a few that really stand out.
The two that stand out for me are Diaz and Morse. And Diaz are really, I think, the most by quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, Diaz is not even in my top three. I go Morse, Fowler, and then Blackman.
If it's a long-term or just a 15-day DL stint for Abascal Garcia, Dayan Viciedo is what?
Is,
what kind of league?
Yeah, like 15-team mixed. Yeah. I don't really want him in a standard mixed. All right, why Blackman over Diaza? Because I feel like Diaza could give you more steals, more power, probably not the batting average.
I feel like Blackman has a little more steals potential than Diaza, and I think there's a better chance of consistency with Blackman than Diaza, who, obviously came out of the gate quickly with the 3 home runs, but I'm not counting on him for 20, and he's cooled off a lot since then, and I just never got to a place, even as good as he was, his final numbers looked last year. I just never got to the place where I could trust him. And Blackman with this hot start, I'm encouraged by it. Like I said, I think he's capable of a Brett Gardner type season, maybe trading off a few of the home run, a few of the steals for a few more home runs. I'm willing to take a gamble on that over someone like Diaza, who I feel like is assured mediocrity.
Now, you've got a comp for Blackman. I've thought about my comp for Blackman, who would be Michael Brantley.
They're pretty similar.
And I was going to say, so you think Gardner, Brantley, you think the three of those are pretty comparable? I think I do.
Yeah, I do. Certainly in the points leagues, maybe less so in Roto.
Sure.
I think Brantley goes to the bottom in Roto because he has the least steals potential. And I think he has less power potential than Blackman, quite honestly. But he is more proven.
You know, Gardner's actually only owned in 66% of leagues. I'm sure he's owned in almost all Roto leagues. But he's a little underrated. Now, he was supposed to be batting like 7th coming into the year. But he's a leadoff hitter now. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps him a lot, too. So he's another option out there. If you lost Hamilton, you're not going to get the power. So, obviously, big difference there. Depends on what you need. A few more notes. Miami general manager Dan Jennings told the local radio station 790 AM that Jose Fernandez won't be on an innings count, but, quote, there may be times during the season we skip him a start so we can pitch him deeper into September and hopefully October, end quote.
The Marlins are so cute.
I'm assuming that does nothing to his value. Just something to note.
Yeah.
Kansas City hopefully getting Omar Infante back this weekend. Ryan Zimmerman was back at third base with his alter throwing motion last night. Adrian Beltre set to have an MRI on his quad. Troy Tulowitzki was given a day off. Quad tightness. Anybody worried?
Not really worried, no.
Josh Rutledge was called up, but Charlie Culberson started at shortstop. James Paxton on the DL with a lat strain. Chris Young will take his spot in the rotation Sunday, and Blake Bevan could start next week.
Or Taiwan Walker.
Oh, good. That'd be better. B.J. Upton sat. Jordan Schaefer played center field. B.J. Upton should be back today, but Scott, Andrews and Simmons needs to bat second. That has to be that. It has to stay.
Well, you got two hits there, and yeah, that was good. He's a better second hitter than Upton, B.J. Upton.
Yeah.
I'd honestly prefer to see them go back to what they did last year and with Justin Upton batting second because he's a good on-base guy.
Fine. That works, but not B.J.
No, not B. Hopefully that ends soon. I really think it was just so they bat him in front of Freeman, see better pitches to hit, and it hasn't really made a difference so far.
Hey, Kansas City homered, and Alex Gordon hit it, their first home run of the season. Victor Martinez played catcher yesterday and first base, so if you are lucky enough to play in a league where he only needs one game, Victor Martinez is now catcher eligible, and that is enormous. Where would he be in catcher rankings, do you think?
Because I've certainly been asked this before, and I had him, I think, like around, I would say, 6th or 7th.
All right, so let's say it's Mauer.
For me.
Mauer, Posey, in some order, Lucroy, Molina.
What about Santana?
Well, I'm looking at Roto. Al's got Santana 5th.
Oh, okay.
Rosario's in there. Gattis. Is he better than McCann? Victor Martinez.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If nothing else, the at-bats.
Is he better than Lucroy?
I say no.
I say yes, again, for the at-bats. I think they're... I think just from a pure what they're going to do as hitters, they're very similar, actually.
And a pretty irrelevant conversation anyway, so let's move on.
not if you're in those one-game leagues. Or, you know, I mean, it's coming. Oh, you know, okay. The five games, I think we'll get there eventually.
You think so?
You think get to five? You only did three last year.
Yeah, but I remember reading in the offseason that Osmus wanted to use him a little bit more there. So,
So
maybe he's a good player to target in a trade if you believe he's going to get the eligibility. Scott, I wanted to bring up something that you mentioned, I think, on the video show. Would you sell high on any White Sox? They've had great hitting matchups through a week and a half.
They have, but who's the guy? Like I said, Deaza cooled off. I think you missed your chance to sell high on him.
To an inexperienced fantasy player, if you want to prey on that, Alexi Ramirez is the best shortstop in baseball right now.
Okay, there's a good one. Because I was thinking, Adam Eaton, I still don't think he's been as good as he can be. Semien's batting average is still low. Abreu, I want to trade. I have a lot of confidence in him.
So 2 days ago, you could have traded him for Pujols, maybe.
Abreu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can now. Maybe.
No. No, and I know I have them far apart in my rankings, but...
You wouldn't want to do it?
I think I'd have to do it, but it's like it'd make me think. I'd get that offer, and it wouldn't just be an automatic accept.
I feel that. That's the fun part about fantasy is like you look at the rankings, but then you get these gut feelings, and you're like, well, if everything breaks right, Abreu could be freaking awesome this year, and Pujols is old and whatever. But it would be a tough call. All right, then let's move on. Irvin Santana and Josh Beckett made their 2014 debuts. Irvin Santana is owned in 92% of leagues. Is that appropriate? And Josh Beckett is owned in 17% of leagues. Is that appropriate?
I think they both are. I mean, Beckett could stand maybe a little bit higher, but I can't really quibble because I'd be reluctant to start him in most leagues or even have him rostered. Santana, the 92%, I think is spot on. The 52% start, I guess people were just cautious about him the first start back.
So. I was surprised he went eight innings, but he threw only 88 pitches. He threw 20 straight strikes to begin the game.
Wow.
One ball through three innings.
He said this was better than his no-hitter.
Yeah.
He felt that, I think he said this, was just a better start because he was throwing so many strikes. That's amazing.
I didn't see any of it, but because, I tuned in for the ninth inning, but
that was the fun inning.
Yeah, I had no idea until I looked at the box score later. He went eight innings, and this is a guy who really he's had some ups and downs in his career. When it's been down, it's been because of home runs, but
the venues haven't really mattered either, so it's hard to predict that with him.
But it's not a hitter's park he's in, Atlanta.
Yeah,
and no DH for the first time in his career, so. Coming off one of his better seasons, I know the win-loss record didn't reflect it, but all the other numbers did. I think I have him up there with the John Lackey and who was the other guy I put in that group yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. shoot.
Yeah. John Lackey and...
It's somebody I like, too.
Yeah, I know. Why can't we think of it? Sorry. My rankings will show it. They're all like right next to each other.
Okay. Let's go to that then.
Yeah.
Lackey, Archer, Wood, Ventura,
no.
Burnett.
Who was it?
Wasn't
any of those. I mean, that's how I have them ranked.
Ventura.
So.
Who? Heron.
Heron.
Yes.
There it is.
Heron.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Yes.
Beautiful. All right. Good stuff. We got five up and six down. I'm telling you, there was a lot yesterday. So five up. Tell me if anybody's kind of opening your eyes. Christian Yelich, owned in 80% of leagues, went 3-for-4 with two walks, three runs, an RBI, a double, and a steal. He's got two steals and two doubles and a triple. Desmond Jennings went 2-for-4 with a homer. Devin Mesoraco went 2-for-4 with a homer. He's 33% owned. D. Gordon, 3-for-5 with an RBI and a steal and a big game-tying hit in the ninth, and his second fielding error. And as Vin Scully pointed out last night, he goes down on one knee to field almost every ground ball. It's very weird. And he's batting leadoff right now with Puig out. I don't know if that'll stay. Billy Hamilton had a great game. stole two bases and tagged up on a sacrifice fly, probably the shallowest that I've ever seen in my life, with that didn't have a fielder like with his back turned or something like that. Do you see it?
No, but everybody had that same reaction.
It was 10 feet maybe into the outfield grass. It was amazing. And that's it. So I got Yelich, Jennings, Mesoraco, Gordon, Hamilton. Who's opening your eyes, if anyone?
Gordon is, because he's hitting for average, and that's something that he did as a rookie, and then had been so miserable since that I think, most of us, maybe all of us, dismissed the rookie numbers as a fluke. But he's the kind of player, and it's tough when a player relies on speed for batting average. They could be all over the place, but there's always that potential that if they don't strike out too much, they can hit 300. Gordon's shown that again.
Yeah, I think the encouraging thing for him is that he'd get these opportunities before and would do absolutely nothing, so the Dodgers would have no choice but to move on, and now he's making them take a long look here. Just real quickly on a couple other of these guys, Yelich, I expected him to get off to a terrible start. He was my sit for week one among outfielders because it was a lefty-heavy schedule, and his splits, both home and away and lefty-righty, are extreme, so I do expect him to be closer to this guy more often than not. And then Billy Hamilton, terrible start, but this one game shows why I like him even in the points leagues. 12 points this game alone. He's pretty much already made your week, and that was a week where I had him as my sit for the outfielders because the
Excuse
Reds...
me. What'd you say?
He's pretty much already made your week.
With 12 points?
I mean, if he literally scores zero the rest of the week, maybe
okay.
not.
Okay, fine.
But if he scores three or four, you're pretty satisfied with him.
Okay, fine. I just needed to clarify that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I just want to, 12 points is not a good week, but 12 points in one game will set you up for a good week, yes.
Yeah. Especially if you stay on that pace.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're going to have a huge week. Would you sell high on D. Gordon?
Selling high on D. Gordon, unfortunately, it's not like some of the other players we've talked about where selling high means a lot of value. I still don't know that you could really get that much for him, so I think I'd rather stick around and see what I can get out of him.
I feel like you might be able to. I mean, middle infielder in a roto league that everybody assumes is going to steal a lot of bases. I just don't know that he's going to bat lead off when Puig is healthy. And I don't know if they've just faced a lot of righties lately. I haven't seen Turner in the lineup, so I don't know if that's still a platoon. But I just feel like he's been so disappointing.
Well, I think as long as he hits.
And the errors, though. He's got two fielding
that's
errors now.
That's my biggest concern, are the errors.
I've noticed there's been a lot of pessimism with Everett Cabrera, and I don't really understand why, because he's off to an okay start. If you could trade Gordon for Cabrera, that'd be awesome.
That would be great.
Brad Miller, who since the two home runs hasn't done much, maybe you could swindle somebody out of him.
Yeah,
Jed Lowry,
Jerko,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think that might be difficult,
like you said, some inexperienced owner who looks at his current stat line and you can pull that off.
I think you could maybe get Jed Lowry from even an experienced owner, and I'd be willing to do that too.
I agree with you, but I think it's kind of like your Abreu Pujols thing. I don't know that I want to give up D. Gordon for Jed Lowry in a roto league.
I'm with you there.
Jed Jerko, okay, but
I know I'm higher than Lowry, higher on him than both of you. I think
I've got you higher
be
than Lowry
guy.
In my rankings.
All right, real quick, guys. Six down. Are you worried about any of these guys? Mike Moustakas, Chase Headley, Prince Fielder, Brian McCann, Justin Upton, Brad Miller.
McCann just a little bit because he really has given you nothing so far, and just have to wonder if there's a reason for it or just a cold snap.
He says he feels good. He's hitting the ball well. There's just bad luck, he says. I mean,
so I'm not really worried about any of them, but he's the only one that kind of has me maybe scratching my head a little bit. Not actionable, though.
When do we get worried about Moustakas?
Not there yet. Obviously, he's been pretty miserable, but I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks from now.
Wow, okay. Rotation time. Tanaka was, he's got a 3.21 ERA, one walk and 18 strikeouts. pretty good so far.
Yeah, I think he might be my Matt Harvey for this year.
You think so?
Or I think I might have been way off on him, yeah. Then the only thing is, because he's not accustomed to the shorter rest between starts, I do wonder if maybe that will catch up with him. But really, other than that, I mean, he looks like the real deal.
I don't want to use, like, I don't want to say I'm concerned. I just don't know that he can sustain this ridiculous strikeout rate. Like, he's not going
to
be Darvish.
And I didn't expect him to, no.
I think hitters will lay off the splitter a little bit more. And he's given up some home runs, one in each game.
Well,
I don't think he's been quite as good as the stat lines. But I still am encouraged.
Hyunjin Ryu, remember, started the same way.
Yes, exactly. And Darvish, I think, was great, right? And then second time around, they started hitting him. I'll go check that out.
I don't know about Darvish, but I just mean specifically with the strikeouts for Hyunjin Ryu. He looked like he was going to be a strikeout per inning type, and he's clearly not. I do think Tanaka's more talented than Ryu, though, so I'm at least leaving the door open for him to be a 8.5 plus per nine inning strikeout guy. Not as good as Darvish, obviously, but Darvish is the best in baseball.
I was wrong about Darvish. He had a lot of control problems.
Yeah, no,
well,
he was
his
not,
first year.
I don't recall him being good right away, Darvish.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't really that good until, like, he said, screw it, I'm not going to think about the walks anymore. And then he finished 2012 on an absolute rampage and carried it over to 2013. So never mind that. Any worries about Jordan Zimmermann?
No, not off of this one start. I mean, if we see, you know, maybe three in a row like this, that's an eye-opener because it's so uncharacteristic. But everybody, you know, everybody flubs one now and then.
Especially when they're facing the Marlins, Adam.
How about Zach Wheeler?
No, I'm not really concerned about him either because the concern for him is walks, and he has two in his two starts. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that he's given up so many runs, but I don't really see it as a problem just yet.
Okay. Shelby Miller, concerned at all about him?
No, not yet.
He's another. What I said about Homer Bailey last year, I think, applies to Miller, too, with the breaking pitches.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd I say?
Last year? You might have said it last
year. I said last year, too. Right. Yeah, that's what I was looking.
Frenchy starting pitchers. I guess let's take Jake Peavy out of there because he's 81% owned. Everyone else is between.
But that is over-owned, though.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man. He's off to a good start.
It still seems like a lot.
That's Jake Peavy. look at 2 years ago what he did.
Yeah, he was great then. Let me down last year.
He did.
Phil Hughes, Jake Odorizzi, Jason Hamill, Wandy Rodriguez, Brandon Morrow, Roenis Elias, Mike Leake, and Eric Johnson. Give me your top three. Hughes, Odorizzi, Hamill, Wandy, Morrow, Elias, Leake, Johnson.
Odorizzi, Hughes, and I suppose I was very encouraged by, well, it's a Houston start, so I was encouraged
still,
by Morrow.
Still, I mean, nine strikeouts.
Yeah.
From a guy who has had, and he's throwing as hard as he always has, Morrow, coming off an arm injury last year that cost him most of the year, and the strikeouts were down the last couple years, so he's back on my radar. Before, I wasn't even willing to give him the time of day. He's my second choice, actually. I go Odorizzi, Morrow, and then I still go Eric Johnson third because I don't have any confidence in any of these other players from an ability standpoint.
Oh, okay.
He's a distant third, Johnson, but he's my third.
All right, then. And do Jeremy Guthrie and Delman Young matter? They're owned in less than 10% of leagues.
No, I would say definitely no for Guthrie and Young. I took a look yesterday again just to see if I could find something there because he's had these, you know, little like half season spurts where he's had power and been pretty good, but it's kind of like what you say incorrectly about Ubaldo Jimenez. He's had, you know, two half good seasons and the rest is crummy. That actually is true with Delman Young. So. but yeah, he's going to get every day at bats now, it looks like.
Okay, so. Then let's settle it here with Ubaldo Jimenez and figure out. Because I didn't – the year before, he really was awesome in Colorado for half a season. He was good that year, too.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. So that was 2008. No, 2008, 3.99 ERA. 103 walks and 172 strikeouts. 2009, 347 ERA. The walks have always been high. 2010, 288 ERA. Since 2010, really the first half of 2010, he's had a 468 ERA in 2011 and a 540 ERA in 2012, and then was terrible in the first half and great in the second half in 2013.
Yeah, nobody denies that, but it's just you. The stuff is still plainly evident, and he showed what he can do with it when he's right mechanically in the second half last year. So it's just, is he going to get in the right habits, stay in those habits? Is this new coaching staff going to put him in a position to succeed by following up with him on those habits? I think that's the bigger issue more than just what kind of pitcher he is. He's a dominant pitcher. He just has these little nitpicky things that he has to pay attention to get the most out of it.
I'm okay, so anxious to get to the next segment here.
What, the injuries, news, and notes part two?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's a just a gem buried in there.
Oh, man. What is it? Jonathan Scope?
Nah, keep going. See, well, time's a waste in here.
What did I mess up?
I know. You didn't mess up anything.
Oh, Sam Fold? I don't know.
No.
Ryan
Flaherty?
Well,
we'll get there. We'll get there.
The Jason Wirth bat flip?
No.
I don't know either. Sorry.
Jacob Turner's on the DL. Brad Hand replaced him for the Marlins. Alan Craig and Zach Cozart sat yesterday. Jonathan Scope has four hits, including a home run in his last two games. Do we need to pay more attention to him?
I picked him up in our 14-team head-to-head categories podcast league. Boy, it's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. Because I needed a middle infielder and tried to get Emilio Bonifacio from Al and failed, so... Scope, I think, is good in that sense if it's a deep league with a middle infield spot. I'm starting him over Ricky Weeks.
J.J. Hardy missed another game yesterday with Ryan Flaherty at shortstop. Coco Crisp received a cortisone shot in his wrist. He missed yesterday's game. Unlikely to play today. Sam Fold started in the outfield. What the heck are we missing here?
Keep going.
Bryce Harper and Jason Wirth each homered with Wirth hitting a grand slam.
I think I know.
Cody Ashe has a minor hamstring injury, and he pinch hit yesterday.
That's not it?
Yasiel Puig pinch hit.
Flip the page.
Oh, I forgot about page two. Yeah. Josh Coldmenter could
remember.
Al is like dancing.
Doing the cabbage
churning butter. Josh Coldmenter could replace Trevor Cahill in the Arizona rotation. All right. Coldmenter, Workman, Bauer. Rank them.
Well, that's unfair because he doesn't have the upside. I'd go Workman, Bauer, Coldmenter. Have to admit.
So where are you caring about Coldmenter then?
Well, Workman and Bauer are AL
unlike,
only.
Yeah.
Are in the AL.
All right. So
Coldmenter wins the NL only competition.
So he does that. And if he does replace Cahill soon, then he'll be the only one of them, assuming Bauer gets sent back down, that actually would have a job.
Yeah.
And I could use him in deeper mixed leagues as well as the NL only ones.
Well, we ran out of time. Sorry, emailers. We'll try to get to you tomorrow. Boston wins by a landslide in the accent war with New York. And now let's see who wins it on the field. Yeah. And we're back tomorrow with another edition with your buy or sells and with your emails. And hopefully not so much to talk about from the game because I do want to hear from all of you listeners out there. So thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.